Hello, and welcome back to another week of the DP World Tour Picks and Bets. Skylar Hoke here, joined by Tom Jacobs, as always. Tom, I'm just going to throw it to you and ask you how you're doing before we discourse what happened yesterday, because a lot of good and one hole of very, very bad. So, Tom, how are you?
I guess it's one of those rare moments where I feel better than you, in the sense that you came so close with Robin Williams, right? And it was a really... You know, you're really quite bullish on him, really. When I listen back and, you know, another triple-digit chance, and that would have been three wins in a row, right? Like, that would have been three wins in a row for the show. So, obviously, disappointing. But then when, on the flip side of it, look, we've had two wins in a row, and then we've had second, third, and fourth yesterday. Like, I don't necessarily think... At some point, your luck kind of has to run out. Like, all you can do is keep putting yourself in position, and you know, they're not going to go your way every single time. So, pretty happy, apart from obviously the slightly lighter pocket view, I imagine, Sky. But it's just I'm really, because it was weird, I wasn't that confident in the selections last week. I was quite open with that at the SDC. I found it quite a hard event to pick, and then all of a sudden we were kind of right in the mix, and I was like, this is great. If we can get weeks like that where I'm not feeling confident, then absolutely. So yeah, I think it's good. I like this event this week. Different to what we were preparing for, and we talked about it on the show last week. Obviously, we were thinking that we can go back to back with Bombers, and then sort of digging into it further, it's actually Glendower this week, which we'll go into in a second. But yeah, overall pretty confident and bubbly as we go into the middle part of the season, I guess.
Yeah, right. You're never gonna find me too down, Tom. You know, like, it's in that spot. I mean, you're right. You put yourself there more often than not, you're going to make money. And obviously a place at 150s is still a big payday out there. To be two up with two to go, I mean,
that's the problem.
That's the sole thing. It was a 90% or like an 88% win chance, you know, based off of what he had. And obviously in the playoff, he had, you know, opportunities to 50-50 coin flip. I mean, good for Gumberg. I mean, we've talked about him in the past, put him up in the past, been somebody who's a grinder, a mini tour grinder here in Florida, trying to get status pretty much anywhere, was big on him after he was hot in Florida, and then Challenge Tour went well and you win this event. And I mean, like Williams, it would have jump-started a career for Williams at a really young age. Gumberg's been around a little bit longer. Yeah. But yeah, it's unfortunate to not have that. Now the question for me is, do you go back in at 100 points less? And we can talk a little bit more on there. But yeah, a tough – and there's no video, right? I was sweating it through Brad Todd's Discord had some stream that somebody was giving us live updates. And I was like, okay, like – You know, and then he duffed a putt on the 16th. Yeah. Like, I think he like literally duffed it. And then he had to putt another one from the fringe. And then he just got to the fringe. And then he two putted from there. So disappointing in that manner. But right on the nails of what could have been a massive week. And I'm almost as devastated, but I am quite devastated that it is a different course this week, that it's not Stein City, because I was really gearing up for what could have been. But there are some golfers that sticking with and kind of following their form overall. Do you want to go into detail of what we've seen in the past at Glendower? I know it's been playing on the Sunshine Tour last year, but DP guys have had some experience too.
Yeah, so Glendower is actually a really interesting form line, because you look at it and it was the SA Open, South African Open, golf course for a decent period of time. And one of the things I kind of picked out was that, you know, Morten Oren Madsen was the first person I looked at, because he won in 2015, and you think, you know, he's not really gone on to do too much more, right? So what has he done elsewhere? Well, he's played well in the Dubai Desert Classic, and that's a big event for him, right? And then you go to Andy Sullivan, who also won here, and he's been second, fourth, and sixth in Dubai Desert Classic. You go to Brandon Stone, he's won here, finished runner-up at Dubai Desert Classic and seventh there as well. And then even you go to Chris Paisley. So you've got kind of like Chris Paisley and Morten Oren Madsen, who are not, you know, prolific winners by any means. They won once each. And he was fifth at Dubai Desert Classic as well. So suddenly there's this massive trend. And Graham Storm, another one, the last person to win here, beat Rory McIlroy, and he finished 18th at Dubai Desert Classic. So why that is, I'm not 100% sure. Is it just the time of year and then catching fire at the right time? Is it, you know, a little bit kind of keeping your ball in play and scrambling well when, you know, the wind's got up in Dubai? I'm not entirely sure. The other one that's been pointed out, and Ben's covered this pretty nicely in his preview, is the BMW International Open, which I think is, you know, a very solid link as well. You know, we talked about Chris Paisley there, Storm, Sullivan, basically all the same players, Madsen, and all of those guys have played well at the same sort of golf course in Germany. So I think looking at those two form lines are worth looking at. I think it's more of a challenging test this week. It's going to be ones where you're going to have to really fight for those birdies as opposed to expecting them to come to you. Tree lined, difficult, could be, you know, could be really tough to get out of the rough and hold the greens and things like that. So I think we're in for a really good test of golf, Sky. I think it's going to be a really interesting event. I think Glendale's a good golf course. I would normally say that we should expect a South African winner. Like, you know, that's generally speaking what happens in South Africa anyway, but also at this event it's been, you know, predominantly that. But actually, when you look at Glendower, three of the four winners were English. So whether that's anything, you know, with Sullivan, Storm and Paisley, three of the five, and then you've had Madsen and Stone as well. Conversely, all the other, you know, all the other runners up have been South African. So it could have been a clean sweep for South Africans. So I do think you want to have a South African on your card. I do think you want to look at people that, you know, perhaps actually, you know, contrary to what we said last week, Sky, about, you know, you could pick players from last week and go on to this week. I think actually players that you were hoping were going to play well last week, they didn't because of the, you know, links and bigger tests. Maybe don't give up on them just yet and give them a chance this week because, you know, it's going to be a dramatically different test there.
Yep. And to the point of, I guess I don't want to say that the benefit is lost for all of those that hit it long off the tee, but it's not going to be something that probably propels a leaderboard full of them. I mean, guys that you've listed, that's not their strong suit, you know, in distance. So, but some of those guys that we've been talking up or have ticked boxes still in a form line of at courses that maybe didn't necessarily benefit that, you know, I think are worth chanting. So we'll go through it as we think. But
I think it's one of those things, Sky, like the classic example, I think it is that I think people are going to look at, they were going to play Nick Backham because he was playing well, he was a defending champion, and it should suit him perfectly if it was at Stein City, right? Now the thing's going to be, oh, it's not at Stein City anymore, so we shouldn't be backing Nick Backham because he's this big hitter and maybe doesn't offer too much else. But I think that can get quite dangerous, like you said there. Like, I think it can be a bit of a slippery slope. You go, okay, well, we don't want to go to big hitters anymore. We're just going to go for technical, shorter hitters. And look, my card is littered with those types of players. But we've seen it in, you know, on the PGA Tour. You go to, I don't know, the Valspar or the, you know, the Heritage or anything like that, and you think, oh, you don't need a big hitter. And then suddenly Dustin Johnson or Sam Burns or whatever wins it. And you think, well, you know, they can also play really good golf. And when they get a chance to club down, it's, you know, an opportunity. So I don't think we should pigeonhole one way or another, but I think it gives an opportunity to some of the short hitters.
Yes. Yep. That's a good way to put it. Fields, similar to last week, are probably about 80%, if not higher, are carrying over from last week. If you look at the top of the odds board, just as we had saw, Thryson Lawrence, Tom McKibben, Xander Lombard, Ewan Ferguson, Jordan Smith, all 22s and lower. Hoshino, Rosner, Connor Syme is at 30s after chancing another Sunday for him that did not go his way. Any golfers short of 30 that you're intrigued on?
So there was a couple, actually. Like, I thought this was probably the best chance for Thryson Lawrence. I keep kind of mentioning him and don't go to him, but I can't get to him as favorite. I think he's one of those people that kind of propels himself when he's a little bit further down the board. Over here, Jordan Smith is 28-1, and I thought that was getting to a price where actually I think he's getting quite tempting. When it's 22-1 in the States and he's actually not playing very well, I was kind of pretty easily led off him in the end. But he has finished third here in the past, and he's got those forms at those courses that we mentioned. And then Connor Syme was the obvious one, Sky. Like, I think, you know, yeah, the way he's playing. But we saw yesterday he still has those issues on Sunday, and, you know, until you get those sorted out, it's hard to have a massive amount of confidence at 30-1. I know we're big proponents, I think, of people changing that fortune quite quickly and changing your mind quite quickly in that sense. But like, when I've got a card of people that are winners and people I think are pretty confident in, I don't really feel the need to go down to 30-1 and shorter.
Yeah, I'm littered with long shots. And I don't not really until Dan Bradbury at 45s was I like taken back a little bit. Now that's, you know, a string of missed cuts, playing better with the six iron and videos, an absolute unbelievable round of two under or two over by him with one club. Ben put it well too in his preview. If he could just putt with that versus what he has been on his putter, because he's on some historical bad runs. You know, he just getting deep like that caught my eye a little bit. Jesper Svensson did not play last week. He's back at 35. So this would have been at Stein City, no brainer for me there with him. But I'm okay waiting till 50s for me to start.
Yeah, same here as well. I've got one at 50s and one at 55. So, did you want me to get the ball rolling?
I'll rip the Band-Aid off and just say I am going back to Robin Williams in the sense of it's hard. I get it. 100 points less, and part of the reason is what, 3rd, 11th, 2nd in the last 3 events, which should have been a winner last week. How does he deal with that? How do you deal with the emotions of being so close? And now, I mean, truthfully, Tom, what's his path to the DP World Tour? Order of Merit winner, right? That's kind of got to be, or Q School, like the direct path for those guys outside of a reshuffle of status maybe, but like if you go on the DP World Tour site, those guys don't accumulate points who aren't members. So that's where I get lost a little on the DP World Tour, is a guy in this example. So basically a win changes everything.
Yeah.
And he was right there into jump starting a career basically that's now changed, because you win on that, what, you're good for a couple of years. Yeah. And he's a good enough talent that he could probably sneak into, you know, chasing a PGA Tour card in the next 3 years, being on that tour if it stays that way. And because of that, I'm a believer and I'm okay cutting the price at 50s. Not to mention, part of the cut is the Sunshine Tour did play here last year, where Robin Williams won by 6 strokes with a 66, 67, 68, 68. No other golfer had 4 rounds in the 60s, let alone I don't think anyone else had more than 2 rounds in the 60s. Steady Eddie, greens in regulation, you know, that's what he does. He seems like a very fine ball striker. And the only fear I have, if they put this on TV this week, Tom, is he comes awfully close to anchoring that putter. I don't know if you saw some of those videos. I mean, he's got the two-handed belly putter working. So hopefully for Robin, he doesn't get caught. But I'm just not willing to quit on that. And the only example that I can think of, not only example because we've done this many times, but of recent terms, is Jake Knapp played exceptional early on in the year. Those numbers were 40-1 as a winner in Mexico. The field didn't change. I understand it's a little bit different. He didn't go from Waste Management to Mexico Open.
Yeah.
We just repeat the same thing, but I think Williams can win. I thought he could win last week. I think he can win again this week.
Look, at the end of the day, like, there's always going to be this debate. There's going to be someone screaming down, listening to this, going, I can't believe you're betting him at 50-1 when he was 100-1 last week. Like 151 last week. And, like, it's fine. But what you've got is you've got another bank of evidence. So before it was kind of South African form and that was it on the Sunshine Tour, right? Like, it wasn't, we didn't have massive amounts of DP World Tour days from Robin Williams. I mean, you go back to Alfred Dunhill just before Christmas, and he was actually leading after round one, third after round two, and seventh after round three. So he was obviously doing it in this company anyway. You've then seen him have a very good opportunity to win. You've then seen him be beat by Jordan Gumberg, who, like, you know, we don't really know too much about. I mean, we obviously have mentioned him in the past, but, like, the opportunities are there right now to win at this level. We're seeing it, and actually on both tours, in the PGA Tour, like you said, with Jake Knapp, and, you know, Austin Eckroat's just won the not so Honda anymore. Like, it's one of those things where you do need to take these opportunities, and what better indicator than being a course winner? There isn't one, is there? So, yes, it's at a different level, but he's playing at a different level the past couple of weeks than he has done in the past. So why not ride the wave? I guess it's the only thing we'll pick off is that really bulky blue putter that looks a little bit dangerous. But there you go.
Right. And that's just the confidence in there. And I'm willing to, especially when I'm not blown away by anything else, I would kick myself more for not right than being in on it. So, but you can go over to your guy, at 50s too.
Yeah. So for me, the first pick, on the odds board, it wasn't actually the first pick I made, but Jaden Trotshaper, is someone we've talked about. I mean, countless amounts of times, I think, since we started this show, right? Like young South African player. And look, I'm willing to admit that he's probably a trap of some description with Boucher, but like we've been here before, haven't we, with Nienaber and things like that as well. But he was playing really well at the end of 2023, like so incredibly consistent. Ninth, fifth, seventh and sixth in those kind of South Africa and Mauritius open swings. And then he goes to the Dubai Desert Classic, that finishes 38th there, gets better throughout the week. 23rd at the Ras Al Khaimah, a solid performance. He did miss two of his next three cuts, but again, he was 24th in Qatar, 18th going into the final round. And look, he wasn't good last week. There's no getting away from that. But I'm fine, as I just said, with kind of going back to the well with these guys that have been in form, because I don't know how well he suited to last week's test. We don't know too much about Shaper in terms of links and things like that. And when it was the Sunshine Tour Championship here in 2020, the first year he turned professional, he was third after round one. He was the co-leader after round two, and then obviously, you know, fell away in the final round. But I'm willing to bet that Scaper can come back and play well at this level. And a little bit like Robin Williams, I think there's a big scope to, you know, improve. And we know he can do it at the lower levels. So let's see if he can do it this one.
Yep, absolutely. He's somebody who also, I mean, when you look at freshness versus what's been the run of golf for a lot of people, I think that could kind of fall into his favor too.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah, I think just, you know, confidence level at home and things like that is just, it's huge, isn't it? So, yeah, I don't know how much I love Jaden Trotshaper as a you know, talent, but when he's in South Africa still, I'm pretty confident he can do the job.
Oh, absolutely. All right. So is your... What?
Next one's with... 50. Next,
right. Okay.
So yes. The next one for me was Johannes Veerman, and this came from that Dubai Desert Classic nugget that I gave at the start. 8th, 16th and 35th at the Dubai Desert Classic. Then you look at his South African form. He's been 7th at the Alfred Dunhill Championship and 13th in this event, obviously at a different golf course. So I think with all that in mind, it's one, he's comfortable with this type of test, you know, in the correlation to the Dubai Desert Classic. We've seen that he's played well in South Africa with the Alfred Dunhill and the SA Open form in the past. And then you look at his last six events and he's made six cuts in a row. We talked about Veerman. I think we picked him in his first event back at the start of 2024. He was 16th there. It might even been when he was 54th. I picked him in one of those events. But he, probably the 54th known what we were doing recently. But anyway, the 38th at the South African Open was 18th going into the final round. He was 39th for the Alfred Dunhill Championship. He was actually 7th going into the final round. 16th at the Dubai Desert Classic again this year is great. And then look, 11th after round one at the Ras Al Khaimah. 29th at the Bahrain Championship inside the top 20 going into the weekend. And then 16th on his last start at the Qatar Masters. So there's something about Johannes Veerman. He's probably 10th or so in the field in terms of form. Just that consistency strikes again. And we've seen these players, they've been bubbling under the surface, playing well, and then all of a sudden in contention. And I think that's potentially what's going to happen with Veerman. I think that very similar path. If you look at Colin Syme, you know, seven events or eight events before finishing 7th and 4th, 41st, 13th, 17th, 40th, 51st, 34th, 35th. Like, that's a pretty mediocre run of form when you look at it in terms of final figures, but there will be flashes of rounds in there that say to you, okay, he's in decent form, he's going to find it. Voila, he finishes 7th and 4th in the next two starts. And I think that's what Johannes Veerman can do this week. So fairly confident in Johannes Veerman as a talent. I think we've seen him win in the past. We know he's capable of doing so. Good driver of the golf ball on his day. So yeah, confident in Johannes Veerman, 55-1.
And I had my notes already shuffled. Veerman's the one coming off with some absolute rest coming in versus the other guys, right? Three, four weeks there with Scaper. Had a week off, popped South Africa back home, and then played. So, yes. I always root for Veerman, somebody who, you know, we've both been keen on for years and think can kind of make that big leap. You've got... I'm waiting for the prices to be cut on my next golfer. So I'm trying to as I look to refresh here to see if he's still okay. 80s for next selection on my end. So I will go up next, Tom. And this number is dwindling kind of everywhere, seemingly a popular selection. And if we talk about, you know, Scaper in some ways, Stud Am, South Africa makes so much sense when they show up there. Who does that again is Casey Jarvis, right? Jarvis has his best event in a good amount of time last week, returning to Glendower as he was the African Amateur Champion in 2021 by 8 strokes at this course. So with a lack of form from a lot of guys here, or relevant, you know, recent form, I think Jarvis is somebody. The only fear that I have with Jarvis is he's a golfer in which I love when no one's on and you can catch him at a deep number and all of a sudden everybody's on and the number is going to be 50-1 by tomorrow. You know what I mean? It seems like. So that's the fear with a golfer like him, because I feel like he can go miscut, miscut, win, miscut, miscut. You know what I mean? Like, he has that form in him. So, but you just line up South Africa, you line up trends with him playing better and better. It shows up last week. Greens in regulation were awesome. And that's, I guess, a side note. You reminded me again this morning, just take all stats right now with a grain of salt. We have Sunshine Tour data, different from the DP World Tour data, different from just a lot of things. And we don't have the eyes, a lot of it right now, to be able to say what's up, you know? So I think he striped it well. He could have been first in greens in regulation for all I know last week, because that was what it looked like in some spots. So, but Casey Jarvis for me, 80s with each way.
Yeah, I think, look, with the win on the amateur win on this golf course, and, you know, by 8 strokes or whatever it was that week, very similar, I guess, to Shaper, right? Like, I think you're putting Jarvis, Shaper and Nienaber into this kind of conversation of young South African things that, you know, people take a little bit longer to mature. We seen it with Xander Lombard. He's coming into this really consistent form. Probably another one that people should be looking at this week. But yeah, I like Jarvis as a player. I've bet on him a couple of times as I have for Shaper, and I actually think I've got close with Jarvis both times. So yeah, I think he's fine. I think it's one of those ones where, like you said, you kind of see everyone steaming on the same goal for and you get a little bit antsy. But look, people are winning long shot bets a decent clip right now. I mean, it's a good time to be a golf bettor if you're picking those triple digit winners. So yeah, I think it's fine to go with Jarvis, even though he's down to the 80-1.
100%. I mean, I probably would have brought it down to 60s with each way, would have been probably okay. But I mean, we'll see how that holds. I was impressed the hold on the number. It was 90s when it opened, and only 80s isn't too much of a cut for me to get in there. All right, then over to you, Tom.
Yeah. So a golfer that I envision being pretty popular, I don't think I'll be the only person talking about him, is Thomas Akin, who's still at 90-1. Do I think Thomas Akin can win in 2024? I mean, he had a very difficult time winning in his pomp, right? Like, it's not something that he did do very often, but when he did, it was kind of at home and in familiar surroundings. And one place where he feels incredibly comfortable is Glendower Golf Club. 40 years of old now, Thomas Akin. So he had, you know, a lot going off. I think it was off the course, wasn't it? Thomas Akin had these issues in times. But look, a 3-time winner on the DP World Tour, once in Spain, once the Africa Open, and once the Avantha Masters. He's been 7th in an Open Championship, so he's got a decent pedigree, 25th in the US Open. He gets it done by kind of being this good ball striker, very tidy, and just kind of, you know, being very solid when other people kind of eject, right? But back-to-back top 25 finishes on DP World Tour. I think he was 9th last week in the end, which is, you know, a really positive result in, you know, decent company. He was 16th last week in the end. He fell away, and he was inside the top 10 for quite a long time there. But yeah, 23rd and 16th the last 2 weeks, 7th at the end of 2023 in the Mauritius Open was the one that caught my eye. And actually, when you look at his course form, it's one of the best. I mean, you got a lot of South Africans that do play here an awful lot, but you haven't got a lot of South Africans that play here well regularly. And he's finished 17th, 5th and 5th in his three South African Open starts in Glendower. I think he had one miscut in that time as well. But look, it's someone that I think you've got to look at. You've got to look at these kind of home contingents, stalwart, someone that knows exactly what Glendower is all about. Not someone who's played it once, he's played it, you know, 4 times. he's got a couple of top tens in the Dubai Desert Classic as well, which I thought was actually a really nice nugget for me as well, that I added on to the end there. That really had no kind of basis on my pick. It only just makes me feel more confident because I'd already picked him. But yeah, when I went back through where he's played his best golf, the Dubai Desert Classic was good for him as well. So yeah, I love Thomas Aiken. I think he's someone that I really enjoy betting, you know, 10, 12, 13 years ago anyway, as it was. And I'm, you know, definitely happy to go on him as well now. So yeah, Thomas Aiken at 90-1 is my next pick. And then the other one.
He's somebody though, again, I mean, if we look through the stats, and I guess if you trust what's out there and accessible,
yeah,
it's kind of a hidden edge in the way that a member like him. So if you were to search, so this is where it's odd, right? Thomas Aiken on the DP World Tour site was shown with 62% greens in regulation last week. And on the Sunshine Tour data, liking tour tips, he was first in greens in regulation. It's hard to know what to trust, but the Sunshine data has kind of led us in a good trajectory the last month or so. So I would think a trending ball striker like him would have hit the ball better than what's shown on the DP site last week. So I think Aiken makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, just typically solid veteran. Like I like these around these types of golf courses. The other one I wrestled with, Sky, and this is probably more to do with that. Who, you know, we talked about three of the five winners here being English and having some sort of correlation to the golf course. Marcus Armitage finished fourth last week. And whenever he sort of showed, I mean, look, I found actually the fanfare around Marcus Armitage quite nauseating for a long time. And I think that kind of put me off betting him, which he shouldn't have done because he's just the type of player that's perfect for this golf course. And he's another one, a little bit like Conor Simon, a little bit like what I said with previous picks as well. It's just, he seems to be bubbling under the surface and can strike. Same sort of theory with Johannes Veerman, that when the course suits, I think they'll strike. And, you know, Armitage was 43rd in Dubai Invitational. He was 47th in the Ras Al Khaimah. He was 43rd in Bahrain, but he actually was 8th after round one. 50th in Kenya, but again, he was better placed. He got worse each round, which is never a great trend to be in. And then all of a sudden, bang, fourth last week, getting better every single round. I love the fact that he's played well in South Africa in the past. It's something that he's done. He's played well at the South African Open in 2020. He finished third, which is great. He finished sixth in the Alfred Dunhill. The one that, obviously, the kicker for me is the 12th place finish in the Dubai Desert Classic. I love seeing that. So, yeah, he's someone that's played well. He shows signs and then pounces on it, kind of indicates what he's going to do. So, yeah, I'm quite happy with Marcus Armitage there. That's 70-1 he is now.
Yeah, and you mentioned a corollary off the top with where he's played well off. He was a sneaky fourth last week. Like, going back through, man, he was just never, like, wasn't a relevant fourth. He just came kind of from behind and... pretty interesting. I mean, fun one to always root for the bullet too. He's always interesting. I'm gonna land on a hundreds with the golfer that was all over the leaderboard last week, who ended up falling out of the places. And I was praying for that because I know I gotta look up on Twitter. Somebody's been betting Nicholas week after week. But somebody's like, Nicholas is going to win. I was like, man, this is the spot I was hoping for at Stein City for him. But maybe, Tom, he is just a golfer who can play, right? Who is just somebody who, I mean, if you look, Magical Kenya Open is when he kind of popped for the first time since. I mean, he made the cut in Qatar, and then he played well at Kenya through the halfway point. I mean, there was a time where he was a solo leader on Sunday. It might have been Sunday. Where he was, or I guess, it was on Saturday. He was a solo leader at one point, and it was like, all right, like, you may have missed it, right? You may have missed what could have been a huge bomb on Nicholas. Now the price is cut. I think he was 500s last week, down to 100s. Similar to that manner, just somebody that I want to stick with, somebody who I think has the talent, who continues just to play well, and still at triple digits is more than enough for me to be willing to go back to James Nicholas.
another one, Sky, like classic example, like, oh, you've missed the boat. He was 500 to one. Now he's, you know, 100 to one or whatever. Like, what are you doing? But we don't know. We've been talking, or you've been certainly been talking about James Nicklaus since he got onto the DP World Tour, right? And you've been kind of tracking his progress and where he is and isn't playing well. And that's because there's this belief that he's a better golfer than he was ever given credit for at the start. And he certainly showed that by getting through all the Q schools that he did and the rounds and stuff that he did, mini tour stuff. So, yeah, I think it's someone that you've got to be keeping an eye on. It's as simple as that. And if that means betting him at triple digits every single time, then great. Because even if it's... I always find it funny when like people sort of almost criticize a 100 to 1 pick because they were a 500 to 1 or a 50 to 1 pick because they were 150 to 1 the week before. It's based off different evidence. You can't treat it the same. You can't be 500 to 1 again because he played so well last week. So on top of that, I'd much rather have hundreds of dollars in my pocket than not, right? So if you do feel strongly that he can, you know, go on and contend again, then I don't see why you'd lose him off just for, you know, argument's sake of value, of, you know, perception of value, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, accuracy looks like it might be more of a strong suit than I imagined with him. I mean, he was top 10 through three rounds in accuracy. The fourth round data, I don't think fully came through for that. I kind of thought he would have been a bomber, and then Kenya was pretty decent for him. And then he comes over to this week, and he was low in distance at the SDC. So maybe this is more of his track. But absolutely think he can break through. So hundreds for him, for me. I still have two more. They can probably go after you. Yeah, you can go next.
So my final definitive selection, and I'm going to come on to one that I'm having a hard time with whether I'm going to do it or not. The next one is James Morrison, who I'm quite willing to go on record and say is a fairly limited golfer. There is a certain amount of events that he can play well each year, and he does. And it's just because he's, you know, very short off the tee. He's never going to be someone that's going to... He wouldn't have been very happy if it was Stein City this week. So he's going to be absolutely delighted that it's Glenn Dower. And 250 to 1, James Morrison fits the profile perfectly of a Chris Paisley, Graham Storm, Andy Sullivan type. In fact, I think he's got that kind of humor. If anyone remembers those DP World Tour videos where he goes in the booth afterwards and talks about his round, reminds me of Andy Sullivan a lot. And forgetting like just personality for a minute, he's got that same sort of game, right? Like it's built on, you know, good scrambling, nice iron and wedge play on his day. And you look at how he's played Glenn Dower, he was 22nd on debut, but he was fifth after 36 holes. He was 15th a couple of years later, but he was ninth after 36 holes. He was 13th with a really good weekend of 66-68. And he did eventually miss the cut in 2018 at this golf course. But that was kind of the only blemish in his thing. But you've got to look at Morrison and think, is he playing well enough? And the argument, again, I think this is very similar. I'm going to keep repeating the same point of Armitage, of Syme, of Veerman, that they seem to be bubbling under the surface. And I think there could be something coming for Morrison. So at the tail end of 2023, he was 52nd at the South African Open, but he was 26th at the halfway mark. He was 56th at the Alfred Dunhill, but again, he was 22nd after round one, 38th after round two. Went to the Dubai Desert Classic, not a great golf course for him, despite the correlations I'm trying to draw with that. 21st after round one, eventually finishing 56th. 23rd at the Ras Al Khaimah, again, you wouldn't expect him in a big driving birdie fest. We had a round of 66 and 67 there. 13th after round one in Bahrain, 33rd at the Qatar Masters, where he was 6th after 36 holes. And then he finished 55th last week, which again was a kind of course that we looked at, kind of maybe potentially bigger drivers and links proponents, right? So is James Morrison finishing 40th or 50th every week enough to be extremely confident? No. But what I think it is doing is showing that he's playing well at courses that he's never really been suited to. And then he's going to get this massive relief to come to Glenn Dower. And he knows at this point of his career, he's got to kind of take advantage of these events. And I honestly believe at 250 to 1 he is now, he's actually got bigger since we've been talking. So at 250 to 1, I'm fine with James Morrison making a little bit of a run at things. I think he's someone that would be featured after round one and two as well.
Yeah, hopefully he has some fun in the booth afterwards from some good rounds coming up. I am jumping over to two golfers who we were at least chatting on last week. One who popped a little bit, and again, I think bubbling below the surface, like you said, is a great way to describe our long shot betting, because it's just pops. It's just little pops here and there, and like Nicholas, then all of a sudden it's there, and you can't miss the window on some of them. And for me, Spidey senses are going off a little bit around Ivan Quintero. He was somebody... I won't ever forget this, because this was when strokes gained data started on the DP World Tour. But there was a glitch like early on that showed, one, it showed correctly that Guido was the greatest ball striker of all time. But he was second to Ivan Quintero Gutierrez for a long time, that apparently his were off, but Guido's were real. But that's when he first popped on the radar. This is back in 2019 on the DP World Tour, when he was kind of cutting his teeth. Didn't really make too much out of his time up there, but finally graduated from the Challenge Tour, where over the last 2 years, he had three top 20s, including a sixth and a seventh in South Africa. So showing some life down there. I mean, he was, you know, I would say pretty steadfast. I mean, four top fives, another four top 10s last year on the Challenge Tour. Missed his first seven cuts so far on the DP World Tour. Shows up at Kenya T23 with some live T15 at the halfway point, I believe it was. And then last week, Steady Eddie 24th at the halfway point, finishing 41st. He drives it with a bit more distance than I think I used to give him credit for, but his accuracy was much better than what it had been last week. So for me, somebody who can succeed at Kenya and then bring it hopefully into here is enough for a shot at 300s, you know, with a top 10 for Quintero. So I'm in on there to start it off. And then the next one is a golfer you were intrigued by last week. And we talked about who maybe of the Sunshine Tour bunch would be guys that we would feel confident in. And Keenan Davidse, I believe is how they pronounce it, is at 350s this week with an each way, coming off an eighth on the Sunshine Tour 2 weeks ago, 16th last week. He was, I believe, in that event, that was a 54-hole event. He was a 36-hole leader before Saturday was a difficult one. And then he just climbed up. He was 71st after the first round, finished 16th last week at the SDC. And he led the field in birdies or better. That's what I'm kind of noticing when I look into some of those like kind of in-running stats or birdies. It's often littered with some guys who just have very inconsistent games, or maybe they step up in challenge. And I guess it shows that I think the upside is there, right? If we're chasing DraftKings points, if we're chasing things, I mean, he was first in the field in that, and he finished 16th. You know, it's pretty encouraging to me when he had more birdies than Robin Williams, Connor Sine, Daniel Brown, you know, like all these guys where he never really touched a leaderboard. Jordan Gumberg, the winner, he had more birdies than, right? So I just think that's enough. History here is middling. I mean, he's played it, I believe, four or five times, 24th last year, 12th was his best finish back in 2016. But I don't know, some early pops in trend and form and upside, and then familiarity plus the price gets me on to him this week.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones. Like I liked him last week. I think he had slightly better, maybe better course form last week than he does this week. But other than that, like I think it, as you say, we're looking for those types of players to make a step up, and it just wouldn't be a complete surprise to me at all to see Keenan Davids sneak up and be, you know, sixth or seventh at least. And, you know, you're talking about each way numbers there, that's obviously where we're looking at that range. Do I think he's got it to win? Probably not, but that's not, you know, not necessarily what we're going for there. As for Quintero, I will take your lead on that. I'm not gonna add something I haven't, just for the sake of it. The one that I'm wrestling with, Sky, and yep, the one I'm trying to convince you on potentially as well, is Darius Vandril Matthew Pavon? And if he is, then we should be besting him this week.
Yeah, I mean, you made this exact same thing. Like, and makes me worried in that manner, because this is how we found him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I don't know that he was ever as good as Matthew, or ever has been as good as Matthew Pavon is as a talent. Right, I think Pavon featured and contended semi-regularly before winning, whereas Vandril doesn't contend. But he's now gone on and won, and we just don't know how people are going to react, do we? Like, we can have our best guess as like, oh, he's never going to do it again, or he's going to be a regular contender now, and you hear all these kind of, oh, he's going to be the next great thing, and that's never going to be leveled at Darius Vandril. But what you can level at Darius Vandril is that his last, what, six events now, he's a ninth at the Joburg Open, a fourth at the Alfred Dunhill, two South African events, then one in Kenya when, you know, we were pretty confident that he could go on and do something good. And luckily he did for you. And then we look at it and we talked about the, so I've gone pretty keen on the Dubai Desert Classic link, but we talked about the BMW International link as well, which Ben points out in his preview. He's been 10th and 12th in that BMW International Open, which for him in that level of field at the times that he would have been doing it is pretty strong. I just have this kind of nagging feeling about Darius Vandril that he's suddenly going to go on. I mean, like, he won the Kenya Open after being 10th at the Kenya Savannah Classic in 2021. Like, is it just a perfectly suitable golf course for him that he's going to go and do it? We don't know because he hasn't played it. If he'd have played it and he was like 15th before or something like that, I'd be just all in. And it would be really concerning because I'd be all in on Darius Vandril, especially a week after he's won or 2 weeks after he's won. But there's got to be something there that we're looking at a player that, and these players get priced this way because people just don't think it can continue. Like Matthew Pavon was 70 to 1 last week, and he was right in the mix again. Jake Knapp, as you know, you've already referenced, was a big number again and got himself in the mix again. Like, it's seemingly, whatever it is this year, there's something in the water of the world of golf. I don't know if people are just trying to prove themselves more, I don't know what it is, whether there's just more opportunities, because I think LIV's having a bigger impact than people maybe, you know, kind of. Anyway, that's a completely different subject. But
yep,
Darius Vandril, I just think at 70 to 1, are we overlooking someone purely because we just don't think he can win twice in a row?
It's hard because if I open up that door, I guess I just end up getting hard pressed that I shouldn't bet Nick Bockham too, in a manner of, we don't know, in this area of the world, played well and back-to-back winner who's shown light. I guess the form isn't the same, but yeah. I guess the numbers for both of them were eye-opening in that manner, you know? And you would think the course should fit Vandril much, much better. I don't think I'm not going back to the well as convinced as, I don't know, I guess then I open the door of like, why am I not also betting like Hugo Cousade, who's kept it up in the numbers? He was great. He's still great, you know, like, and he's like 50s. It's not bad there. I don't know.
It's actually a nice problem to have this week that we're having these conversations of like, do we have to leave people out rather than scratching around for picks, which, I mean, not that you were doing that last week anyway, but I think the one with Backham, it's like, it's almost a bit contrarian because everyone's going to go, oh, okay, well, it's not the long course anymore, so don't need to do it. But then you look at it and, you know, his top two finishes of the OWGR are both in South Africa, first and then the third at Limpopo Championship. He's got the fourth VST Championship last week. He's, you know,
And he just seems like he like stretches form, like a flash, and then he's there. That was the thing with looking at him historically.
And you've got the two arguments. So against Vandril is he's not going to win twice in a row. And against Nick Backham is, well, his power doesn't help here. Like, and that, I guess, like when someone is negated in that respect, I get that. But by the same token, That should mean that his iron play is easier for him. His wedge play is easier for him. He can club down and all those sort of things. It's not like he's not going to use the driver. There's two there with Backham and Vandril to kind of think about. And it might take me a week to decide about Vandril. That would take me up to 6 picks, which kind of gets it a little bit messy. But
I'm going to close it, because I have to wrap here. But the one guy, the one remaining that if I look through the field, and I didn't really feel that there was much out there deep down the board as I kept looking outside of one person who is not in the field yet, Tom. And you even spoke a little keen to him before the show too, with Nikhil Rama, our golfer who we priced up. I was in on at the Joburg Open, 1,000 to 1, who was your 36 hole leader, cashed the full each way ticket, finishing solo sixth there. Last week or 2 weeks ago, the NMB Championship Challenge Tour, really the first time he showed a little life since that pop. If you remember, at the end of 2023, he had a fourth place finish a few weeks prior to that fourth place finish in October at this same course where Robin Williams won. So I like that. And when I was looking into those birdie or better numbers last week, he finished, I believe, 24th and was up there consistently. Just a ton of birdies for him. Shows the upside. I remember watching him at that event. He definitely had some erraticness, to say the least, in his game. So I'm not surprised. But if you string that together for a consistent four rounds, like he kind of did last week, even with the bogeys, he had a solid week. We're going to get a number. It's probably going to be 200 plus. And if he is in the field via the Monday qualifier on the Sunshine Tour, which you get 10 spots in. So he's playing in that right now. I'll be in on Rama.
How far are they into that? Do we know?
I haven't seen any live leaderboard.
Okay. Yeah, that's, again, just another one that is, we're just going to end up back in millions. But it's a good opportunity. I actually think he'll be bigger than 200s.
Like, yeah, it could be 500s.
Yeah, like 500s, I think he's going to get instilled into a big price and it would be really appealing. And yeah, like you said, like I, without even like having a discussion with you, just found him in some way or another. Can't remember how I found him, but I did. And then it's funny that we've kind of talked about him the same way. So yeah, definitely Nikhil Rama, someone's keep an eye on. But I guess I want to do our shout out to our listeners and then summarize our picks.
Perfect. So you can find us if you're an audio listener. You can find us at Daily Fantasy Sports Picks and Bets, The Mix, available on all your different podcast platforms. Daily Mayo Media Network, excuse me, gives us so much love. We really appreciate Pat's absolutely on fire, it seems like, as well. Yes. So we appreciate all the support across the board. Like, subscribe, review. I know there was so much interactions on the Robin Williams post because I know that hurt a lot of people. So hopefully he can be the ticket this week to a big one. So thank you all. So Tom, if you can review your card for me.
Yeah, so I've got Jaden Trey Scaper at 50-1, Johannes Veerman at 55-1, Marcus Armitage at 70-1, Thomas Aching at 90-1, and James Morrison at 250-1. With the idea that I think Darius Vandrea was too big at 70-1 as well. But so I can't quite get there to put him on there.
Fair. I'm in. So Robin Williams, 50-1. All these are sixth place each way. 50-1. Casey Jarvis, 80-1. James Nicholas, 100. Ivan Quintero, he's 300 on a book without the each way. So I like that when you add in the top five versus 150s with the six places. So 300, like a T10 with him too. Keenan Davidze, 350s as well. And then hopefully Nikhil Rama gets through on the Monday qualifier and will be in on him. So thank you, Tom. Let's go for four amazing weeks in a row. We can stay hot with that. And appreciate you as always, my friend.
Yeah, I wish we were saying four wins in a row. That'd be really exciting. But it's been a hell of a run. And what's great about this guy, and I know we're gonna get off here, but like it's great to start the season this manner because you can kind of then, you know, build a lot of confidence in your picks and go forward and get your process right. And it's nice to start the season this way. So onwards and upwards on the DP World Tour show.
Yep. Amen. Let's keep it rolling. Off next week. No show as there's a break on the DP World Tour. And then we'll be back in 2 weeks. So thank you guys as always. And we'll catch you then.